Are committee members of the opinion that would help clarify?
Miss, Madam Chair.
Okay.
Could I ask for a response from one member of the audience? I see John Nichols of the Rifle and Pistol Association. Just, John, could you nod yes or no if inserting only is consistent with your understanding? Is inserting the word only consistent with your understanding of the intent? It is.
Senator Hill moves that we add the word only.
On line 27, Madam Chair, after may. And that's a technical amendment. It's not intended to change what it accomplishes.
Okay, please go ahead, sir.
The other thing, I'd just like to make a statement for the record, even though it's not specifically in the bill. There is in the legislation, there is an issue raised in Section 8, which talks about limiting the liability of the sheriffs and limiting the liability of state police in a case of a negligence of checking the record for someone in purchase of firearms. There's not a specific liability exemption for local police enforcement. That is the intent. And while it doesn't specifically have that language in there, and I don't believe from the working group that it would be necessary to put in there, I certainly want to establish as part of the record here that was the intent of this, that that same liability apply to local law enforcement officials as well as county and state law enforcement officials. Those are the amendments, and I would ask, Madam Chair, that you adopt these into the bill. And on the funding side of it, which is obviously of great interest to you, there is some cost to this, and I believe your committee staff will have that. Funding process of this, as I understand it, is accounted for in the budget that will come out. There are some fees that will be increased as a result of this for concealed hand weapons permits. Those have all been from the working group agreed upon, and this does give us a good start towards accommodation of a lot of needs, both in the law enforcement community and for the people who have firearms in the state. And hopefully we'll continue the dialogue that has been built up amongst these groups in the future on issues like this.
Representative Burton, you may have stated this early on, but is the Judiciary Committee in support of these amendments in the form that the bill is in now?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, these have all been, all these amendments have been flown past the Judiciary Chair and the members of the subcommittee that worked on this specific bill in the House, and they were agreed. They sat in on the, representatives of that group sat in on the working group when these amendments were made.
And the major parties at the table are in agreement?
Yes, okay. They are.
Madam Chair?
Senator Hill.
I'd move the Dash 17 amendments.
Okay, before we move the amendments, I would like to hear the fiscal. If we could hear from our staff and hold that for a moment.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, we have passed out the most recent analysis by the state police on the fiscal impact of 3470. It was based on the engrossed version of the bill. We do not believe that the amendments that are before you this morning have any impact on these numbers. The cost to the state police department reflect two separate elements. One, the study required in the bill, and you'll notice that the center column of the analysis defines those particular costs of the state police at approximately $139,500. And in addition to that, there's a requirement for the state police department to process fingerprints, and the cost of that is estimated currently at $602,000 for a total cost of $741,000. The bill does provide for a fee, a portion of which would go to the State Police Department for processing concealed weapon applications, and the estimate for the biennium is $315,000.
So, might I ask, is this all general fund dollars that we're talking about here? Or they're fees, but we're not talking about any kind of...
The cost will be a combination of general fund money and fees. The cost will exceed the anticipated fees coming in, so the net difference will be general fund. We also have in the file an estimate from the Health Division on their costs to maintain a registry of reports made to local law enforcement officials. And that estimate is one FTE position and slightly in excess of $50,000.
Do we know the amount that will be beyond the fees that will be general fund, have general fund impact?
$400,000, is that right? If you subtract the revenue from the application of $315,000, is that correct, from the $714,000?
That is correct.
That's it. Okay. Thank
it would be
you.
The net.
Yeah.
We do need to point out to you that the fingerprint cost estimates contained for this bill are incremental costs on the top of the assumption that the department will receive a decision package to acquire the automated fingerprint information system. That system is not currently in place. It was recommended by the governor as a part of the crime fighting program above the expenditure limitation at a cost of $1,500,000. That system has to be in place in order for these incremental costs for processing these fingerprints through that system. We would have to go back and take another look at what the cost of processing the fingerprints under the current manual system if that automated system is not authorized.
Madam Chair,
I
noticed in this, and maybe I'll address it to Mike, nothing in here for AG in case there's any challenges or any court cases or anything like that, which we normally put in. Is that right?
No.
Representative Hammond.
Just a question of Mike. The Health Division fiscal impact is about $50,000, did you say?
Madam Chair, Representative Hammond, that's correct. I have not had an opportunity to review their submission since it arrived to the file. The Health Division assumes that the subject reports will be entered directly into LEDS for online access by law enforcement personnel, and the position that they are indicating the need for is a data entry operator.
And that's in addition to the $741,000.
Yes.
So, to
as I said, we have not had an opportunity to verify this particular need and the number of reports that would have to be entered and compute those into an FTE.
And would there be any fees generated to cover that, or would that
no.
be so looking at the net impact here, if that $50,000 is close to valid, we're looking at the difference between $790,000 and $315,000.
Correct.
The 426 or so general fund dollars, are those a part of the state police budget?
Madam Chair, they are not currently funded to handle this level of activity. These would be expenses of the state police department that would be in addition to their budget as it passed out of Ways and Means earlier this session.
Okay, further questions from committee members? Representative Hammond.
Just to say that if I recall correctly, earlier in the session when the Transportation Subcommittee dealt with its recommendations on its priority list, or however you want to categorize it, was the expenditure for the $1.5 million automated fingerprint system. So that is in the process.
Are there further questions, comments from members of the committee?
Could I ask, this is presumably includes an appropriation. Where's the section of the appropriation?
Section 32 in the A and growth version.
Page 24.
What do we know about the phasing in of this and the schedule, the likely time at which these appropriations are needed? I was wondering whether or not this particular appropriation ought to be to the E-Board, if there is a matter of the time pattern for release of it.
Major, is that something you care to address? Senator Roberts is concerned about the timing and whether this appropriation should go into the emergency fund, and perhaps you can speak to that.
Madam Chair, Chairperson, committee members, I'm Major Renfro, Oregon State Police Criminal Investigation Bureau. This AFIS system, if we do receive it, is scheduled to go online in approximately October of this year. The study calls for a 12-month period between January of this coming year to the end of the year. It would give us enough time to adequately set up for the study. All of these calculations on the handout that were given to you are based upon the acquisition of the AFIS system, which is at this time fairly close to being online. So I think that the figures and the time elements are fairly accurate if they could be incorporated into the base budget of the state police.
Senator Roberts.
Are these figures, do they anticipate that the bill would not be operative except maybe the second year of the biennium because of these time constraints?
Madam Chair, Senator Roberts, could you...
Well, I see that some of them are for a senior trooper for 15 months and a clerical specialist for 18 months and a fingerprint technician for 21 months and so forth. How does that relate to what you've been saying about the timing?
Madam Chair, Senator Roberts, yes, there's two different phases in this particular operation. One is the study itself, which would be for a one-year period. The second is ongoing concealed weapon permits that would be coming into the department that are being done at this time. So there's two phases, actually, two phases within the complete biennial cycle going on. Now, for example, the senior trooper position would be for 15 months. That would give the senior trooper an opportunity to work on a one-year study and a month and a half before and a month and a half afterwards to set up the program and also to prepare the reports for the next legislative session. If you notice that the fingerprint technician is assigned for 21 months, that would not only include the one-year study work, but also include the ongoing work to be done on the concealed weapon permits and the gun transactions that will start coming in October. So that's the reason for the various differences in months.
Thank you.
Okay, Representative Embley.
Major, I noticed that you did not have any AG cost in here. Did you not contemplate that there'll be any problems constitutionally or anything that you need to go to his particular office on and check with or would call for an opinion in any way?
Madam Chair, Representative Van Lee, that's correct. We didn't anticipate any cost there.
Okay. Okay, further questions? Senator Hill, I will certainly accept your...
Motion.
Your motion
dash
to...
-17?
To accept the dash 17 amendments to House Bill 3470. Opposition to those amendments? Okay, if not, they stand approved.
Do you want a motion to move the bill?
Representative Hanlon.
Move the bill with due pass as amended. And in inserting something in section 30 budget.
Yeah. How should that be stated, Mr. Stenson?
Madam Chair, the A engrossed version in section 32 currently carries a blank sum for the appropriation. We would suggest that the net amount of the estimate be inserted less the expenditure limitation. You can choose to add the expenditure limitation in a separate section or simply have the agency return to the emergency board for that other funds expenditure authority. They have a significant amount of other funds expenditure authority currently that they could actually receive and expend the permit fees under, and then they could come back and increase that at a later date when they knew it. We would suggest that you not provide any appropriation at the present time for the Health Division costs, but allow those to be looked at separately and have that agency approach the emergency board if they have a need.
So the figure that goes in that blank is?
$426,612.42.
Okay. Is there any objection to sending the amended 3470 to the full committee? Hearing none, passes to full committee. I wanted to let the subcommittee know that tomorrow it's unlikely that we'll meet because of a fairly long agenda in full committee. We are still open. We may be hearing a couple of bills on Thursday, but that's all very tentative right now. I'm speaking with the co-chairs to see what's possible on that. There's no further business to come before the subcommittee.
Let me remind those members of this subcommittee who are also members of the education sub that we will be meeting tomorrow. We'll be going over our whatever the committee feels should be the list of requests that we should make. And I hope you'll changes and revisions in the list I suggested.
And will that be meeting in the morning or the afternoon, Senator Roberts?
I think it's due in the afternoon.
Okay, we're adjourned.
Okay.
Sorry for getting everyone out of bed. Subcommittee will come to order. We are dealing with Senate Bill 448 and the changes that we asked staff to put together yesterday. And I would like you to sort of remind us of those and tell us what sections they're in, just so we can be sure this is squared away.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, why don't I just walk you through the proposed amendments
okay.
to engrossed. In the first section where you see lines 3 through 22 deleted and page 2 deleted, that's the whereas portion that
right.
was in the original bill.
Okay.
Section 1, there were no changes. Section 2 just added the wording, the Department of Human Resources shall study within the resources of the department.
Okay.
There's a typo that's on page 3, line 25, that needs to be fixed. Oregon Healthy Mothers, Healthy Babies Coalition.
What's the typo?
The it, Y off.
Oh,
yeah,
Y.
And then getting to section 3, which is where the changes, major changes were made, the subcommittee had recommended inserting the wording from Senator Hamby, and which has been done and put into section 3 and 4. The first question comes up in line 1, section 3, if during routine pregnancy or prenatal care in the first trimester, this wasn't clear whether that clause in the first trimester should be in here or not. It seems like the policy applies no matter at what point it's identified to be a problem, so maybe that clause should just come out.
In the first trimester, yeah.
Then another item that the...
Now, I want to be sure, is that okay with everybody on the sub? Okay. All right, go ahead.
In that same sentence that was pointed out by the Senate Human Resources Committee Administrator, they had changed the attending medical care provider to read the attending health care provider, thinking that medical care sounded more limited to physicians, doctors of osteopathy, whereas they wanted to include, be sure they included midwives, naturopaths, and any other person who might be giving advice during pregnancy. So that's something for you to consider.
I don't have any trouble with that. Does anyone
know? Health care?
Health care provider.
Health instead of medical. Okay.
Then in Section 4, there was another clause added in the first sentence.
Now, do we want to change medical care provider there, or is that...
Should.
Yeah.
Yes.
The attending medical care provider...
Health care provider.
Health care provider shall perform during the first trimester of pregnancy or as early as possible. Mm-hmm. That was added. Section 5 just added the subject to the availability of funds. But in
now, question, before we go any further, these required things would be for healthcare providers treating people who are on a state program or healthcare providers treating anyone?
But state programs.
State program.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Is that right, Ann?
Is this kind of a universal mandate?
Wait. I thought we were talking about human resources and
I think it's any.
The way it's written, it sounds like everybody.
I guess it would be everybody because
Treasurer Permanente. Yeah, I hope so.
Okay, so say that again, Ann. I was that we're talking about everybody, yeah. Not just women on welfare.
Yeah, it doesn't ever say limited to persons under Medicare.
Well, I mean, it makes sense. I just
didn't
understand.
That's okay with me. I just wanted to be clear.
Okay.
In fact, I like it better that way myself.
Me too.
Yeah, there we go.
On line 26, it says, subject to the availability of funds, the department shall design and place in operation no later than 3 months. And I just read that this morning and wondered whether the health division can, if you get the federal grant, if you can be 3 months after the date of this act, possibly change that to implement it as soon as possible.
That would be better language for you.
Okay.
So just what, in operation as soon as possible after the effective date?
Okay. Section 6 on page 5 was added by the subcommittee. The Health Sciences University.
Okay, I would like to make a suggestion. No one was here yesterday or whatever day we dealt with this to talk about that, and some language, slight change in language has been suggested. The Oregon Health Sciences University shall, rather than establish an integrated curriculum, integrate within their curriculum. Now, I sense it's the same thing if this makes the Health Sciences University folks a little more satisfied. Yeah. Lois, do you want to come briefly and speak to that?
Madam Chair, for the record, Lois Davis with OHSU. I think I spoke with most of you yesterday and did express some concern about the language for a couple of reasons. One, philosophically, we do have a concern about the precedent of a political body mandating curriculum, simply because there are things like this that I think we can all agree are good for society. I think there are other sorts of issues that could arise that reasonable people would disagree on, and maybe vehemently. So we have a little bit of a concern about, or a lot of a concern about that. Above and beyond that, we are currently offering these sorts of programs in our curriculum. and so, you know, mandating something that exists. I did discuss with Senator Hamby some language changes. We were concerned about, I'm not an academician, but my understanding is the way the language is written, it implies setting up a separate curricular unit, say, rather than integrating it to the existing language. The other thing, if you're going to go with this language, the additional change, I would say, shall continue to integrate, rather than, because we already are doing it. So I would at least, you know, like it to have, and I don't have the exact wording that she handed you in front of me, but
well,
I think you said it shall continue.
Okay, to integrate within their curriculum.
Drug and alcohol assessment.
Yes. Okay, any? Senator Bradford.
I'd be reluctant and say I'd be perfectly comfortable to delete this language in that they are currently doing it, and I personally get a little scared when we start telling schools what to do in terms of curriculum. I mean, I think it's a real, this is an important area, but I can start to dream up some things that this legislature might want to start telling certain people to do in their schools that would offend all of us. So I just think it's kind of a line we should be very, and I don't even work for the university, but I think it's a line we should be very careful about. So, I mean, I'm concerned about this problem, but I'm also hearing that they're doing it, so I'm sort of saying, well, okay, well, why Google cross this line for something they're already doing?
Well, except for what it does in my mind is it reiterates that the problem's out there and that these folks are doing it and they will continue to do it. So I guess I'm not quite as offended. I mean, we're not asking them to set up a new program.
Madam Chairman.
Senator Roberts.
I am sensitive to the line drawing, but... I will say that that in contrast to a normal university program, which serves a variety of needs and so forth, and the research activities and so forth of the university fall into that category. But in other respects, a health science university is intended to serve some specific public purposes. And I think that that justifies a slightly different treatment of this kind of thing. Just as I feel, for instance, that it's appropriate, although we've tried it on several occasions and haven't always secured it, that the Health Sciences University ought to be more active in dealing with primary care and family care training rather than specialists. And that, in a sense, is saying what the Health Sciences University ought to be doing or not doing, because that relates to some public need and public policy. And I think this one fits into that category. I recognize the fact that they already be doing this. Maybe it's not important to stress it, but I just sooner make some reference to it to maintain the emphasis upon medical attention to this very significant social problem, which hasn't had a lot of attention in the past.
That's my feeling exactly, that the emphasis is what we're intending to do here and nothing more than that. Senator Hill?
I agree. I think that we need to raise the profile of the issue. It's being raised in other areas, for instance, medical costs through AFS programs. And I think we need to raise it at the preventative end.
Okay,
Before we take action, I have a couple of...
Well, let's finish with this section.
I think I'm sensitive to what Senator Bradbury is saying, and since they've already got it in existence, would it be better to say shall continue an integrated curriculum rather than establish, which makes it sound as if we don't know what we're talking about.
Well, that's the new language. Let me try that one more time. The Oregon Health Sciences University shall continue to integrate within their curriculum. Shall continue to integrate within their curriculum in the medical school.
About provide.
Well.
Continue. I don't know if it's integrated or not.
Yeah. Instruction.
Madam Chair, send
an
instruction to teach. Yes.
Senator Hill. Because of the being down here late and getting back here in the morning, I wasn't able to bring like a medical school catalog with me. But it is integrated into our curriculum. It's taught throughout the medical school curriculum, and there's even increased emphasis in recent years given the fact that we also have a medical facility in which we are dealing with a number of of people who have these sorts of problems. I have...
Well, then you are providing it. So if we say provide, that's a more flexible language. Anything wrong with that?
I mean, I think we're just, you know, in terms
splitting
of...
Splitting hairs.
Yeah, splitting hairs in terms of choosing a word. The language, trying to fit it in the language here is a little awkward. One thing I'd say first, I guess my preference would be to say is encouraged as opposed to shall continue, but simply getting at what Senator Bradbury was saying. But if you say the OHSU shall continue to integrate drug and alcohol abuse assessment and treatment education into its medical school curriculum, it might flow a little more smoothly than the way the language was
okay,
here.
Okay, Lois, would you say that one more time?
The Oregon Health Sciences University shall continue to integrate drug or provide, but I had integrate drug and alcohol abuse assessment and treatment education into its medical school curriculum.
After you've got all that complicated language down, let me suggest a much simpler change.
Okay, go ahead.
Just strike out the words establish and insert the word have.
Yeah, there we go. Shall have an integrated curriculum. Well, that's not much different from provide.
Well, again...
The word have includes the possibility of establishing plus the possibility of just continuing to have
right.
what they have now.
I'm sure I'd make that as a motion.
Okay.
I think it does a trick and we should move.
We do have technical problems. Can anyone take shorthand? Okay, go ahead.
Madam Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Gail Achterman. I'm the Assistant to the Governor for Natural Resources. And with me today is Roger Bassett of the Education Policy Office. And Roger and I have been working together over the last 2 weeks trying to get amendments to House Bill 2215 put together to respond to some of the concerns that your subcommittee raised when we were with you a while back. In front of you, you should have the A-10 amendments to House Bill 2215, and essentially what the A-10 amendments would do is...
Hang on just a minute. Should those have been passed down?
Are those May 5th amendments?
No, Madam Chairman, Representative Van Vliet, no,
yeah.
Those are June 7th amendments.
Okay. Yeah, I've got them.
I don't
know.
They're coming.
Okay, go ahead, Gail. We'll just listen.
Essentially, the difference between these amendments and the amendments that we presented previously are that they do not impact the general fund. Representative Peterson asked last time whether or not the general fund impact of dedicating the amusement device tax to the YCC for the 1989-90 fiscal year had been taken into account in the Ways and Means co-chair's budget, and it had not. And in order to eliminate any impact on the general fund of House Bill 2215, the new amendments, the A-10 amendments, have been revised so that only the doubled tax, only the increased proceeds from the amusement device tax go to the YCC, so that the cash flow would be that during the 89-90 year of the biennium, there would not be any funds available for YCC, any state funds. It would continue to be solely a privately funded program. And during the 90-91 biennium, the increase from the doubling of the amusement device tax would kick into effect, and approximately $800,000 of revenue, half of the $1.6 million annual revenue at the doubled rate, would go to the YCC, so that for the biennium, the YCC would receive $800,000. And the proposal in the A-10 amendments is that $280,000 of that would go to leverage additional funds for the existing YCC summer program that we've been running with the state natural resource agencies and private contributions. a local grants program, the Oregon Community Service Corps program, would receive $250,000, which would be used to leverage local contributions from mostly local juvenile services agencies that are running local YCC programs. And approximately $270,000 would cover the administrative expenses. Since the administrative expenses of the program are not covered in the Employment Division budget in any other place, we need to fund that administrative expense and to take care of the problem of no revenue from the amusement device tax in 89-90. The proposal here is that we'd borrow general fund for the first year of the biennium to cover half of those $270,000 biennial administrative expenses and then repay them from the amusement device tax revenues in the second year of the biennium. Roger, have I covered everything?
I believe so. Chairperson Peterson and members of the committee, for the record, I'm Roger Bassett, the Director of the Office of Educational Policy and Planning. I'm not absolutely certain that the language necessary to manage that borrowing arrangement is in the -10 amendments. I need to double check myself. If not, exec has drafted amendments that will do that, that we can provide to you.
Do we have those?
I have the copy where I have them is described as 2215-8 amendments. There's a section.
Okay, so you're taking it out of some old amendments that we don't have in front of you. Could you read us that language?
Sure.
I mean, assuming it's fairly brief.
It is fairly brief. It's in addition to and not in lieu of any other appropriation, there is appropriated to the Oregon Youth Conservation Corps for this biennium, I'll paraphrase, for the 89-91 biennium out of the general fund. The sum of and the estimate from that office is $245,128 that would be necessary to bring forward to the first year. When the Corps determines that monies in sufficient amount are available in the Corps account in the general fund, but in no event later than June 30, 1991, the Board shall reimburse the general fund without interest in an amount equal to the amount from the general fund appropriated and expended according to the provision I paraphrased. The monies used to reimburse the general fund under this subsection shall not be considered as a budget item on which a limitation is otherwise fixed by law, but shall be in addition to any specific biennial appropriations or amounts authorized to be expended from continually appropriated monies for any biennial period. I gather that latter language has the continuous appropriation nature of this source of funds.
Okay, are there questions from committee members?
Just one.
Senator.
I guess I'd like to more fully understand what you're going to do in terms of administration. Is that 1.5, 2 FTE? What is it?
Madam Chairman, Senator Bradbury, there you should have staff has a proposed budget that was the budget detail has been prepared. Basically, it funds a continuation of the staff that we have used the last year of this biennium, which is one program executive in range 32, one management assistant for a year and a half. So it's an 18-month management assistant and an 18-month clerical assistant, so that $207,000 of the total $270,000, I'm rounding, is attributable to personal services. It's really important to have somebody at a range 32 at that salary level to run the OYCC program, because that person has to be capable of going out and working with the business community, doing fundraising activities, and they're basically single-handedly running a program and working with local governments on developing a local grants program. In addition, there's a services and supplies budget of $53,000. It's higher than would ordinarily be the case because primarily of travel expenses and publicity expenses that are incurred in terms of recruiting the young people for the program and in printing the materials necessary to do the private fundraising. And so it is a higher S&S budget than most state programs, but we think it's necessary in order to do the private fundraising that's needed here and in order to travel around to the all over the state to supervise the projects.
One other question, Madam Chair.
Sure.
The the $280,000 that's allocated for the summer program, is that going to be a match? I mean, is there going to be a state match to private money, or what are we?
Madam Chairman, Senator Bradbury, the whole purpose of getting state funding for this program is to leverage more private funds and federal funds. We already believe we can get a substantial match from the U.S. Forest Service and the Bureau of Land Management if we can contribute just a small portion of state funding for these projects. So we already know we're going to be able to leverage federal funds from conversations with the U.S. Forest Service, and we also believe that we will be able to, based on conversations with a number of foundations as well as communities where there isn't one big employer who's willing to make one big contribution, but we are counting on being able to leverage this money, not to use any of it as a single source of funding.
Fine, thank you.
Representative Van Vliet.
From an organizational standpoint, why do you want to put this into a division that is already having enormous problems like the employment division? Why not put it under your youth conservation, or not your youth commission, or the youth commission that's been recently established, or put it under the Department of Forestry since you're going to get into a lot of conservation projects? Treat it like almost a CCC type of approach.
Madam Chairman, Representative Van Vliet, I can speak from the standpoint of the Natural Resources Agency, and I think I'll refer to Mr. Bassett in terms of some of the other programs you're referring to, since he's more familiar with them. I believe the problem that we identified from the 1987 legislation is that the program was placed in the governor's office. The governor's office is not equipped to directly administer programs, and so we needed to move it somewhere. In terms of the natural resource agencies, since the primary responsibility of the staff is coordinating the recruitment of the youth and working on with the advisory board and the private nonprofit board to do fundraising, the kind of work that the administrator was being asked to do was really designing youth employment program activities and recruiting young people, and that seemed to be a much more the kind of thing the employment division did, especially with the employment division offices throughout the state, than it did the natural resource agencies. Apropos of the other agencies that you referred to, having the employment division offices throughout the state, having that field staff, has been very important in terms of assuring that we recruited young people from throughout the state, and many of those other organizations don't have that kind of field organization that the administrator can draw upon, the executive director of OYCC can draw upon. Roger, would you like to further address the question?
Chairperson Peterson, Representative Van Vliet, I was not in on the discussions that led to the decision to place it in the Employment Division, but my understanding is that follows a logical sequence. This is the Human Resources Program within the Human Resources Department. The Employment Division is the logical division. There are some also logistical considerations. An established division provides some opportunity to contract for some of these logistics that a smaller or newer agency doesn't provide, at least in terms of certainty. So it was more that order of decision than it was some major.
Well, it ties in so closely to the student retention initiative, where you're trying to pick up students to give them an opportunity, that your source of students is going to be from that kind of a thing, and possibly from even Children's Service Division and through other aid. And just the type of student that would go into the employment office and offer the what I would call the data bank of availability for this particular core. I don't know how big that is. Employment Division is so understaffed right now and is in such a frightful shape from the standpoint of its reorganization and what we have put upon it. I'm wondering if it wouldn't get lost in the shuffle in the Employment Division office.
Chairperson Peterson, Representative Van Vliet, I've not heard that concern expressed. I appreciate the perspective that from which you come in raising it. The Employment Division is that arm of government that pays most attention to how does employment come together with employers. The experience that goes with that is an important experience to the whole recruiting and and publicizing and matching parts of this. That's my best response, I think, to your concern.
To carry this on a little further, was there ever any discussion with the governor or early on about making this part of the whole Oregon Youth and Children's Commission, the one that we just created?
Madam Chairman, there hasn't been any discussion with the governor along those lines, no. I think that's probably because of the governor's view that this is a general young people's employment program and up in, for the last 2 years has not been directly targeted at at-risk youth, youth that have dropped out of high school, or it's targeted at the general population of young people seeking summer jobs. And so it has been viewed from the governor's standpoint from a general employment perspective. And in fact, as the concern about targeting it more toward at-risk youth grew over the past 2 years, and in working with local community providers of services to at-risk youth, it became evident that Dennis Maloney, who's on the advisory board for OYCC and is with Deschutes County, which has an active local YCC program, he and most of the other juvenile services directors in Eastern Oregon very strongly believe that the additional focus of this program on at-risk youth should be managed through a local grant program where they had people in the community that were available year-round to supervise young people in this kind of a program. And that's really why the governor has supported Representative Kiesling's efforts to add the local program grants effort, working through local youth service providers to this program, but we would not be doing that at the state level. We would simply be providing matching state funds to local service providers.
It looks like maybe we need to help staff walk us through some of this. It sounds like a couple of the sections in the bill may be out of sync with the latest discussion we've had. Mike, do you want to bring up the two sections that you mentioned?
Madam Chair, the Sections 1 through 5 basically double the tax that was described. Section 6 in your dash 10 amendments was the provision that provided for the YCC to receive all of the proceeds of the amusement device tax. And as I understand the newly described program, Section 6 would be inconsistent with that program, so Section 6 ought to be stricken.
So is that your sense also?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The next section that does not match the newly proposed program is Section 11. This is the section that continuously appropriated monies out of the YCC funds to the Oregon Community Service Corps. And also provided for an amount for the VISTO tuition and fee voucher. I believe that the lottery proposal has addressed the tuition vouchers. I cannot speak as to whether or not it addressed them fully enough to alleviate this need or not, but I do know they have.
$500,000.
Madam Chairman, members of the committee, it's our understanding that at line 25 of the dash 10, the figure should be changed to $250,000, which is what Representative Kiesling and the Human Resources Committee of the House have been seeking through the local grants program, and that the last sentence of Section 11 in lines 26, 27, and 28 would be deleted.
Okay, so we keep the language in that says appropriated to the Oregon Youth Conservation Corps $250,000 for 1991 and for each subsequent year for purposes of carrying out the provisions of this act, period. And then we eliminate the rest?
No, that's right. That's it. Yes.
Is that correct? Okay. So a portion of line 26 and all of 27 and 28. Anything else?
Those are all the technical amendments. Additionally, from a technical standpoint, we might suggest the consideration that as opposed to the language of Section 11 providing for a separate continuous appropriation from one unit of the Corps to another unit, that you address that simply in the budget with a separate limitation for each of the programs. I think accounting-wise, it would be much simpler than to have two separate accounts established. So really, if you follow that approach, you could delete Section 11 in its entirety, and then in 5541, you could provide for an administrative limitation, a YCC limitation, and a Oregon Community Service Corps limitation.
Is that a cleaner way of doing it? Is that what you're suggesting to us?
Okay. Madam Chairman, members of the committee, the only remaining question then is the cash flow problem for the first year of the biennium before the tax would be increased that was addressed in Section 6 of the Dash 8 amendments to 2215. And we can provide staff with a copy of those amendments if they don't already have them, but I think the budget and management staff does believe that we need to have clear authorization to borrow general funds to cover the administrative expenses for 89-90 and then repay them out of the increased tax revenues in the second year of the biennium.
Okay, we have to act on this fairly quickly.
Madam Chair, I would move that we amend the Dash 10 amendments with the various things that were raised to us by Mr. Stinson, and also the most recent language that has actively provided us relating to borrowing from the general fund.
Okay. Are there any objections to that amendment? Okay, hearing none. Are we ready to move this bill?
Madam Chair, I would move we adopt the amendments.
The amendments have been moved. Are there any objection to the amendments? Okay.
I'll move the bill.
The full bill amended has been moved to the full committee. Any objections to Senate 2215 as amended? Okay, hearing none, we will do so. Now, do we need to deal with 5541?
Yes.
Okay, quickly. Other committees are meeting, so we are. This is the appropriations part, right?
Correct. Madam Chair, you ought to strike the word, or insert before operations, OYCC operations. Insert a new section, subsection 2, for the community service corporation operations, and that amount would be $250,000. And administration would go from the $1,650,000 becomes
530.
Well, I'm going to
split it for.
Oh. I'm going to advance you the limitation on the. Your donations as well at this time.
Okay.
It becomes 683,643, and administration then instead of 400 becomes 266,257.
And with a separate line on community service operations.
The sum total of that should add to 1,200,000, which is 800,000 of the tax revenues and 400,000 donations.
Okay. Is there any objection to sending amended Senate Bill 5541 to the full committee? Okay, if not, so done. I need some carriers. Anyone particularly interested? Senator Bradbury, would you carry both of these on the Senate side?
Sure.
Anyone particularly interested on the House side?
Somebody
else. I'll do it. No one else does. Okay, thank you for the good work. We are adjourned.
Thank you.
Good job.